On May 3rd of 1980, Candace Leitner's 13-year-old daughter named Carrie was killed by a drunken hit-and-run driver in Fair Oaks, California. This 46-year-old driver, who had recently also been arrested for a DUI hit-and-run, left her body at the scene. This tragedy sowed the seed for MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. All of us have heard about that group. And it's a group that's dedicated to getting rid of those who are DUI, driving under the influence, and the prosecution of that crime, as well as victim advocacy. The group estimates that they have cut in half the number of DUIs since they've been in existence. And like DUI, which has deadly effects, anybody who is driving under the influence, who is drunk behind the wheel, is a weapon. Just waiting to kill somebody. As deadly as DUI is, sin has a deadly effect on people as well. And Brian Smith shares in The Good and Beautiful God the following thought on that. God really hates the effects of sin and the effect that it has on his children. To say that God is indifferent to child abuse or infidelity or even identity theft is ludicrous. God is love. And because God is just, he stands mightily against sin and evil. And I am so glad. I am so glad. And you know, I think each one of us here today would honestly say that we are grateful for the existence of MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You know, as you and I, especially on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday night, are out driving about, I am thankful for a group like MAD that has raised the community consciousness about the importance of not drinking and driving. It has literally saved thousands, if not millions, of lives. And one of the realities that you and I hope can begin to be glad about is that God hates sin. God doesn't hate us, but he hates sin. And his desire in our lives is that it might be eradicated, that it might be eliminated, that we might draw closer to him. And so today I want to reflect with you on one of the principles that we continue to study in The Good and Beautiful God and in God's Word itself, and that is God is holy. God is holy. I want to remind you that over the past few weeks, I've spent a lot of time laying the groundwork of the reality that God is good. God is loving. God is generous. That's a wonderful foundation. There's a lot of things that you and I have to celebrate in terms of the very nature of God, how beautiful God is, how wonderful God is, how loving and all of that. And today I'm going to reflect on another aspect of who God is, and that is holy. For all of us, this is a little bit more difficult, I think. At least I know it is for me. I mean, when I think of the holiness of God and when I think about who I am, I tend to want to go in the other direction. Because the holiness of God is pretty awesome. The holiness of God is incredibly pure. And when I think of myself in relationship to the holiness of God, I just am overwhelmed by it, overwhelmed by the goodness and beauty and the holiness of God. And so as I reflect with you today on the stewardship of our heart, this month of stewardship series, talking about heart, time, talent, and treasure, one of the things I want to invite you to reflect with on me is the whole reality of how our God is holy and how in the stewardship of our heart, God is inviting us to follow him into holiness and purity of life. And so today, in your first lesson in the bulletin, I invite you to turn there right now in the Old Testament lesson in Isaiah 6, we heard read, "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And so that should sound kind of familiar to all of us here, because in just a few minutes during the great Thanksgiving and right before we enter into the consecration, all of us are going to proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It's the, you know, it's the holy, holy that we cry before God. And it's taken from this verse in Scripture. It is scriptural. And it is part of our liturgy. As you and I enter to the altar and we come before the Lord and we proclaim that he is holy, 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 we are affirming that our song is the same that is being sung in heaven. We are part of the worship of the Lord God Almighty today in this earthly place as the angels of God surround his throne 24/7, worshiping him and crying out to him, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." You and I are a part of that today in a very special and powerful way. The whole earth is full of his glory. And you see, that's what's so special about each one of us taking a moment today to come and worship. In the midst of our busy lives, in the midst of all that we have going on, we are taking an hour and 15 minutes or so out of our white week to remember that God is holy, to remember that his glory fills the whole earth, and to take a moment to begin to adjust our perspective to the eternal, to the heavenlies, and to begin to see life in a different way. That is the invitation. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 4:8, we read, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under the wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" It's that same refrain. And that's only two places in the Bible. I could spend a good part of this day with you, but I won't. You got plans, I understand. It would be glorious, but I won't do that right now. But I could spend a good part of the day reflecting with you on how many verses there are in God's Word that talk about worship, that talk about a heavenly scene. And it's interesting, the scene that we read about in Isaiah 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, this scene where Isaiah was taken up into heaven and giving praise and honor and glory to God, is incredibly similar to this scene that John on the island of Patmos had in the book of Revelation. Could it be that they had an experience of the same heaven? I think it is. I think they were both taken up into the same place, and they were before the same group of angels that are right now before the throne of God, crying out to God right now at this moment, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Now, some of you are kind of wondering, well, this is nice, and you know, I come to church on Sundays, and I spend time in here, and I worship God, and I go home, but the idea of doing this for an eternity, I mean, Father Joe, that's a long time. I mean, 24/7 before the altar of God, I can do an hour, but 24 hours a day? I mean, you got to be kidding. I mean, what else can I can only be there for so long. I get bored after a while. But you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Every experience I've heard anybody share of a near-death experience or some kind of experience where they've been in heaven, even for a brief moment, they have not wanted to come back here. It is so beautiful. It is so glorious. It is so lovely. God is so great, they don't want to come back. So I just want to say to you, wherever you are right now, you know, you and I need to understand how beautiful this is and begin to ask God that he might bring us into this experience, that we might truly worship him from our hearts and have a sense of heaven. You know, when you come here to worship God on a weekend or wherever you might go to church, wherever it is, maybe you're visiting this weekend, I would say to you that you should expect to have some kind of experience of the living God. When you come together to worship God, it shouldn't be an experience of, "Oh my gosh, I can't wait to get out of there, I'm so bored." It should be an experience of God. It should be an experience of love and his holiness and being deeply touched by him. You should expect that. You should want that. You should have that, because that is part of God's promise to us, because he's holy. And this place isn't about going through the motions. It's about experiencing him and his presence and his love. God is holy. Love and light are in God. There is no sin, there is no evil, and there is no darkness. And holiness is part of what makes God so beautiful and lovely, his purity. It's part of what makes God so awesome and so unlike us. You know, as you look at that Old Testament lesson today, what happened to Isaiah when he had this heavenly experience? What did he say? "Oh, good, you know, I'm pure, I'm ready to go, everything's fine, I've been waiting for this for a long time." Was that Isaiah's response? How did Isaiah respond? What did he say? woe is me, woe. I'm in trouble. Where's the door? I'm looking for the exit. Yeah. When Isaiah began to experience the heavens, when he began to be part of the worship of God and the angels surrounded around the throne, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips." And beloved, as you and I begin to experience, by God's grace, his holiness, as we begin to understand and experience in our beings his call in our lives and have a taste of his presence, we will have the same response. We will have a sense of our own darkness. We will have a sense of our own sinfulness. We will have a sense of our own brokenness. And let me just say, these are all good signs. These are signs that you're actually experiencing God and being invited to repent, that you might become more pure and holy in his sight. And the good news in this story about Isaiah is there's an angel that comes to him with a hot coal, puts it on his lips, and cleanses him. Just like Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins and rise from the dead, that all that might receive him would become children of God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You know, the good news of this holy God is that he's not around to make us feel guilty and to condemn us, but God is here in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, inviting us into heaven. He's inviting us to come back home. Heaven, this experience of worship, this reality of purity, is what we've always meant to be. It's who you are. It's just that you and I have forgotten this and have not been walking in it. It's part of the beauty of who God is. Another aspect of God's holiness is that God is a consuming fire. God loves us so much that he longs for us to be pure. Now again, I don't know about you, but when I hear that word purity, it's like, well, that's a nice word, but there's no way I'm going to make it. That's a bridge too far for me. It just isn't going to happen. Lord, I acknowledge your holiness. I acknowledge your purity. I acknowledge you're so much more than me, I can't even begin to grasp it. But that's just a bridge too far for me. And God says, yes, that's true, but not by my grace. By my grace, all things are possible for you and for you and for you and for you. So yes, purity for us is humanly impossible, but through the power of God's Spirit, it is a possibility. God is against our sin because he is for us. He loves us to purity, you see. Purity is for our best. Now, you and I may not feel that way at sometimes. There are mud holes of sin that we love. I don't know what your mud hole is. You probably go to it in a secret place. That's West Virginia terms for that place where the pigs like to wallow and just cool off in the afternoon sun and all that, or it could be a spiritual metaphor for sin. That thing that you and I go to that we really find comfort in, but we know in our hearts that it's sinful and it's wrong. God says, you know what? You got to get out of there. It's not good for you. It's not who I made you to be. And you know that after you do it, and after you do it again, and after you've been doing it for 20 or 30 years, you still know it, right? But he loves us to purity. And we know what is right and wrong from God's word and Holy Scripture, from prayer, through life lessons. God brings us people, life events that speak to us and affirm what he has for our lives, what his call is in our lives. It's not debatable. It's not to be put up to a philosophical committee. We don't need to hear from some great guru of the day about what right or wrong is. God has clearly shown us in his word what is purity and what is not. And in all of this, as we begin to consider the choice that we have a choice between right and wrong. And the thing that you and I need to realize about our walk with God is that we do have a choice. And God honors that choice. Now, let me show you something for a moment, because purity might not be too attractive to some of us. We've just kind of given up on it already. But I want to show you something. I have two glasses here. I covered them with cellophane because I didn't want to have a spill. But there's two glasses here. One of them is a glass. Both have water in it, but one of them is a glass that I went right outside before the service and I scooped some mud in it, some dirt, and I put some water in it. Yeah, there it is. Look at that baby. And then this other glass over here is some water that I got from our water cooler right here in back of the church. Now let me ask you a question. If I were to give you these two glasses, which one would you drink from? Which one would you drink from? If you were to drink from this one, you need to talk to me at the end of the service, okay? We just need to have a conversation. All right, going to talk about that. You drink from this one. You drink from this one because you would want to give your body something that was clean and pure and refreshing. You wouldn't drink this because, my gosh, you don't know what would happen to your body after you drank it or what kind of diseases you would get or parasites that are in there. Oh, we just go on and on all day about that.
But we got it from you.
I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't drink it. You would drink this. You would drink this. Wouldn't you? Look at this. Remember this. Impurity, sin, darkness, evil, light, goodness, holiness, the purity of God. Look at this. What have you been putting into your spirit? What have you been putting into your spirit all these years? And what is God calling you to begin to put in? Look at this. Look at this today and think about that. I'll be careful, Betty. I'll be careful. We have a choice. You and I have a choice that God honors. And that's what love is all about. God is love. We reflected on that last week. And love is so great and so wonderful that love gives us a choice about what we're going to do. We can choose the wrong or we can choose the right. And whatever choice that we make will have an effect. It will have an effect on your life. It will have an effect on the people around you. And will have an effect upon the entire world. And it will have an effect upon your eternity. We have a choice about how we're going to live. And as we reflect on the reality today that God is holy. God is holy. God is calling us to this. Not to this. But God honors our choice. You know, one of the things I want to share with you here today and affirm is that God is love. And you know, a lot of times I hear today from people from time to time about how can you believe in a loving God when the Bible talks about hell? And where the Lord that you serve, who is named Jesus, talks about hell in so many different ways. How can you believe in a God of love when there's this kind of conversation about hell? Well, let me share with you my understanding of this. Love gives us a choice. Love gives us freedom. And there are people who have gone through life as human beings who have chosen, if you will, good. They have chosen light. They have chosen God. They have chosen Jesus. They have said yes to this in their lives as they've gone on. And God honors that choice. And then there have been other people who have chosen evil. They've chosen darkness. They've chosen to shake their fist at Almighty God. We have examples of them throughout history. They have said no to God from the depth of their being and from the depth of their life. And guess what? God honors their choice. God honors them. And so what I would say to you here today is that God is not indiscriminately sending people to hell. I believe every human being who will ever go there breaks the heart of God. Because God loves every human being. God is love. That is the nature of who he is. But people will end up in that place because they choose it. Not because God sent them there. God is love. And you and I need to hear that today. And God continues to reach out in love to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ, inviting the world to reconciliation through his blood. Inviting the world to redemption. Calling the world back home. And some people are saying, Abba, Daddy, I want you. I need you. I say yes to your forgiveness of my sins. I want to walk with you and follow a holy God. And there are other people who are saying, no way. Forget it. I'm going the other way. We have a choice. Beloved, we have a choice. And it's important that you and I hear that today and understand that today and celebrate that today. In closing, a young woman had been living with her boyfriend for 6 months, and she believed her choice was okay with God. Brian Smith shared with her that God does not endorse what you're doing because you and your sexuality are sacred to God. God is very pro-sex. After all, he invented it. Just saying. But sexual intercourse is a sacred act of intimacy that is designed to be shared by people who have made the ultimate commitment of marriage. Anything less than that cheapens and diminishes sex and usually leads to a lot of pain and heartache. You are sacred and special. That's why people wait. She went on to respond to Brian, I know what you mean, she said, because it seemed after a while he was only interested in me sexually and not as a person. Our relationship is a mess. What should I do? He says to her, wait until marriage. Break up with this guy and begin to experience your sacredness. And so she listened to him. She broke up with this guy because he wasn't willing to wait till marriage and build a relationship. She waited for 3 years experiencing her sacredness before God, experiencing that she was holy, that God was calling her to purity, and there was something very special and beautiful about her. And then she met a guy who loved her enough to wait until marriage to consummate their intimacy with one another. That is a beautiful thing. That is a thing today, I believe, that many young men and women need to hear. That is not about getting in the sack so quick. It's about being sacred and special before God and one another, loving one another and loving the Lord, and walking in that holy commitment to one another. Beloved of God, let us hear the word of the Lord today, that he is exalted on high, that we praise and we worship the Lord God Almighty of all of the universe, and what a wonderful thing that is. And that as we worship a God who is holy, God is calling us to holiness and purity by his grace. God is calling us to begin to realize that you are sacred. You are sacred. You are sacred. You are special to him. You mean the world to him. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. That's how special and sacred you are to him. And our Jesus is inviting us today to embrace him fully in that, to walk with him, and to drink it down all the way.